Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of God's very real presence in your life. Well, you may or may not see yourself as a leader, but you know what? You are an influencer. People are watching you. People are listening to you. Some follow you. And I would venture to guess that you actually have far more potential in you than you even realize or have even tapped into yet. So this is why today's conversation is for every single one of us. What's the one way that we can all steward our influence in a more fruitful way and even possibly grow our influence? Well, it's this. It's becoming a better listener. My guest today writes this. The expanse of your leadership platform is directly linked to how well you listen. No one wants to follow someone who won't listen to others. The truth is many leaders have lost their credibility because they haven't put any effort into their listening skills. Once credibility is lost, it's mighty hard to regain. The key to building loyal, empowered, and engaged teams is to listen intently. Steve and Becky Harling join me today to talk about their book, Listen Well, Lead Better, Becoming the Leader People Want to Follow. And again, this book is written towards leaders, but I want you to know it applies to all of us because we're all people of influence. And who doesn't need to grow in the art of listening, right? Well, we'll get them on in just a moment. A couple of quick announcements. You've been hearing about our live audience event, which I'm so excited for. It's February 13th, the night before Valentine's Day, with Dr. Troy, whom we have on once a month. We're going to talk about love's power to heal and the way that we understand God's love impacts our physiology, the way we love each other, really does affect the healing process in our bodies. Dr. Troy will join me, and it's going to be amazing. Well, the tickets are free, but the seating limited, and I need you to know they sold out right away, and I thought they would because everybody loves Dr. Troy. But I want to say, if you grabbed tickets and you just grabbed them because you didn't want to not get them, right? But now you're wondering if you can make it. If you don't think you'll be able to make it, I do ask you to call the ticket office and let them know, because we already have a waiting list of people who really desperately want to be there. We'll have worship. We're going to have a nice dessert. We'll have a live show, and we'll do some really great giveaways. And a special thanks to Schuler Shoes for sponsoring the evening. They're actually giving some gifts away. It's going to be a great night. Hope you don't have to miss it. But if you do, let the ticket office know. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Steve Harling is a 35-year veteran of church and nonprofit leadership. As the president of a global ministry, he travels around the world mentoring leaders and speaking at mission events, Bible conferences, and leadership retreats. My friend Becky Harling, I just haven't met Steve yet except just right before the show, but I've known Becky for a number of years. She's a certified speaker, leadership coach, and trainer with the John Maxwell team. She's the author of several books and speaks both nationally and internationally. And both the Harlings travel widely from their home base in Colorado Springs. Becky and Steve, this will be the one time I ask you to talk at the same time. So good to have you on the show today.
Okay, great to be with you, Susie.
Hey, looking forward to it.
Good.
You two are wonderful, and what you're doing for the kingdom is so profound, and we appreciate you so much.
Thank
you. Yes, and as you know, especially Becky, you've been on the show before, we love to start out by talking scripture. We just love the Word of God here, and I know you both do as well. Mm. So Becky, let's start with you. Is there a verse you've been pondering these days?
Yeah, absolutely, Susie. So I've been going back through Psalm 46, and especially Psalm 46:10, where David writes, "Be still and know that I am God." It's really hard for me to be still, and God's been speaking to me about that lately, and just the whole place for stillness and silence in my walk with Jesus.
That's wonderful. How about you, Steve?
Well, Susie, I think the verse that I have been really reflecting on a lot over the last 30 days is Psalm 16. I think it's verse 4 in the Passion Translation, and it says this: "You alone have I chosen as my inheritance. You are my prize, my portion, and my pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I leave my destiny to you." And that verse has just been a huge encouragement to me on so many levels. And it's driving me deeper into my union with Christ and really seeking to understand what are the implications, or what does it mean to really have Christ be our fullness, our full satisfier in every way. So that's just been a real encouragement to me.
Wow, that's so great. I want to just let our friends know Their book is titled Listen Well, Lead Better, Becoming the Leader People Want to Follow. We've got 6 copies, thanks to Bethany House. So you know the drill if you listen often enough. But if you don't, here it is. Text the word book to get in on the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Steve, you opened the book with a story about a time when you moved from being a pastor of a small country church to becoming a pastor of a mega church. You had a great vision for a building campaign. Tell us about that and tell us what happened.
Oh, yeah, that was an amazing experience. You know, I'd been really motivated to a passionate disciple maker and passionate about growing the church. And anyway, I got invited to be the pastor of this large church. And I was really excited about moving forward. And man, I don't think we'd been at the church more than 6 months. And I was already talking to an architect about building a 2,500 seat sanctuary and a 30-something million dollar expansion. And on and on in my thinking. And boy, you know what? I did not take the time to really listen and to really get a feel for where people were at and what they were thinking. And I kind of rushed ahead with the ambition that was in my heart and realized afterwards, wow, I didn't do a good job listening, and it comes back to bite you. Because the people really weren't there. You know, they really weren't there with me. Now, the early adopters were, but if I had taken the time to really delve deeply into where people were and sought to understand them, I think I would have had a much better chance of getting a large number of people motivated and engaged and eager to get behind the project. So that was a big learning lesson to me. Slow down and listen.
And how did that turn out? You write about it in the book. But just so friends see, you know, when we are just on track and not listening, there are consequences at times. I mean, God can redeem anything. But that was a pretty painful lesson, wasn't it?
It was outwit, outlast, outplay. Literally from day one, the chairman of the board and I looked at life from completely different perspectives. He was voted in by the congregation. I was voted in by the congregation, and it turned into a battle of the titans. Mm-hmm. And our little secret feud eventually went public. And once it went public, a lot of people started taking sides. I started getting paranoid. I'd look out at the congregation on Sunday morning, wondering, you know, who's with me, who's not. And man, it just turned into this crazy, wild ride. And in the end, ultimately, both of us, we both became these, you know, these lightning strike posts. And in the end, I think it was probably a good thing that both of us wound up leaving the church, and the church could go on after we were gone. And again, if both of us had learned to listen better, boy, we could have avoided a lot of that.
Boy, thank you for sharing that. I mean, it is a tale of caution for us. And I think we could all look back over our shoulder at times thinking, I could have navigated that better had I been listening. Well, Becky, how about you? We're going to get to how to do it right. But I think it's just so helpful for people to know that you're not just speaking about this in theory. You really have learned this from experience. Can you think of a time in your life when, for fear, insecurity, whatever the reason was, you possibly weren't listening, and what you learned from that?
Yeah, absolutely, Susie. You know, you hit the nail on the head for me, fear and insecurity. Steve was always a more confident leader than me, you know, and people early in our ministry kept saying, well, you're such a leader, Becky. And I kept thinking, I am not a leader. But as our ministry grew, I ended up being over our small groups program and women's ministry program and several different programs in one of the larger churches that we served. And I remember I had one woman on my team that kept I felt like she was battling me. And when that would happen, I would get really tense. And finally, I asked a corporate person on the team who was serving in the corporate world. I said, what am I doing wrong? Because I've got to change something. I'm not being the leader who I want to be. And she said, you know, you're not letting her finish. You don't have to get defensive. When you get defensive, it really points to your insecurity, and you're not being then the leader that God's called you to be. And she just is trying to process her thoughts, give her time to just process things and just enjoy her opinions, even if they're different than yours. And that was life-changing for me.
Well, Steve, I think that would be life-changing for anybody, because we are in a culture not really versed in listening, and especially if you're, you know, talking with somebody or hearing from somebody who thinks differently than you and claims to be in the same circle, but they see things, they're suddenly a threat. I mean, we really are in a desperate place where we need to learn to be a little bit more confident and secure in who God made us to be, and be confident and secure even if you think differently than someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Just because you listen to somebody doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean you have to come out of the meeting saying you're right and I'm wrong. But you got to be confident enough in who you are to be able to hear a contrarian point of view. And, you know, we live in a world today, especially here in the United States, where everybody's talking past one another and nobody seems to be really listening anymore. They're all trying to get their point across and they're not really hearing each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that we, as followers of Jesus, we have an opportunity to model a different way.
Amen. Amen. We're going to pause here for our break. When we come back, you referenced a Gallup poll that states only a third of Americans are actually engaged in their work. Think about that, friends. A third of Americans only are actually engaged. So that means the rest of them are disengaged. Why is that? And what are the implications of not being engaged in the assignment that God has given you? Well, I'm talking to Steve and Becky Harling. They've co-written the book, Listen Well, Lead Better, Becoming the Leader People Want to Follow. We've got 6 copies, thanks to Bethany House. So just text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you follow a difficult leader, or maybe they've got a different vision, or maybe they're not communicating the vision, or they seem like they've got a father wound or they're threatened somehow, and you're wondering, how do I navigate that? In a separate text, send your text, question, comment, and I'll bring that into the conversation as well. 877-933-2484. More with Steve and Becky Harling in just a moment. That song. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. You hear this from me a lot. You get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. You do. I think we're so afraid of confrontation, of criticism, of facing weaknesses that we often are closed off when it comes to maybe someone else's criticism of us. We're talking today about really the art of listening and listening well. I'm talking to Steve and Becky Harling. Their book is written towards leaders, but I'm telling you what, everybody, every one of us, we're influencers, and there's something to be learned in this book for all of us. As we grow in the art of listening, really, God will grow our influence as well. Again, the title is Listen Well, Lead Better, Becoming the Leader People Want to Follow. And it also, I would say, helps you navigate if you've got a leader, if you're under a leader, maybe that is difficult to lead. You're not catching the vision. Maybe they're making it all about themselves. There's some great wisdom in this book for navigating such a situation. You want to end the drawing? We've got 6 copies, 877-933-2484. Text the word book. So, Steve, you referenced a Gallup poll that states only 1/3 of Americans, I can't believe this, are actually engaged in their work. What are the implications of that, and why is that?
Well, I'll tell you right away, Susie, that was more Becky's observation than mine, but it's true.
Okay, Becky.
Okay, so the reason for that poll is because Americans are not engaged in their work, because they feel a lot of times like their leaders are not necessarily listening to them or inviting input from them. And so what they do is they go to work every day, but they're kind of out to lunch while they're at work. You know, they might be on Facebook or social media, or they might be just, you know, trying to do the least amount to get by. But in order for people to really be engaged in their workplace, they need to feel like they're being heard.
Okay, Steve, let's talk about this a little bit more, because if you add, you know, a Christ follower into that equation where they are disengaged because they're like, you know, nobody listens to my ideas anyway, and they're only partially engaged, really the implications are significant. They're not rising up to the fullness of the call of God in their life. They're not going to influence the people. And obviously, for the employer's sake, the work's not getting done.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, again, it comes down to we in the body of Christ, there's so much potential in the body of Christ. It's enormous. And if the teams that we lead felt like they were actually being invited to participate in thinking through objectives, goals, strategies, vision, mission, all that kind of thing, boy, we could leverage their skills in a powerful way. But I see so often in the ministry world where folks are just going in, putting in their hours, and they don't feel a sense of ownership for where the organization is headed.
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, our 3 sons are grown now, and my hubby and I have a very engaged prayer life. And one thing we've seen with he's out in the marketplace, our 3 sons are out in the marketplace. When we see a situation where they are maybe under a leader that's not listening, that's making it all about them, we pray, because we're like, we're not settling for anything. Lord, you move mountains, you open doors. And and time again, we see God move and make a way. And you both talk out in the book about the importance of listening to God. But as it relates to this, if someone's in a situation where they're listening, they're like, yeah, that's me. I've disengaged. Talk about listening to God and not giving up hope and fully engaging in the way that God leads. Becky, we'll start with you.
You know, I think it becomes our spiritual discipline. We need to understand that as followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility to be representing Jesus well. And so we need to create the space in our lives to really listen to God and to hear from God. Both Steve and I practice this every day, you know, so we spend time in worship, but we spend time in prayer. We spend time reading God's word. We spend time in silence and we're listening for God because the Spirit of God wants each of us to view our work even as an act of worship. And so if we're not giving 100%, we need to hear from God to be recommissioned to that workplace where he wants to use us.
Mm-hmm. And Steve, God may, as you start to bend an ear and listen and re-engage your heart, going, Lord, I'm not settling anywhere. I'm going to engage with you. Either help me flourish here or lead me out. He will lead you in the way that you should go, won't he?
Absolutely. But I also think that it's worthwhile of learning how to manage upward. In other words, if you've got a boss that's not providing what you need, what can you do to open those doors of communication? What kinds of questions can you ask? How can you ask them in a way that's not threatening or demeaning or causes undue stress? But there's a way for you to earn the right to be heard. And you gotta, to me, that's the kind of thing where you pray through and say, Lord, okay, how do I navigate this? And I think all of us have had bosses that fit this category. I mean, goodness, I've had bosses like that in my life where I've wrestled with, because I'm a visionary, and to be under a bean counter is a tough thing. So how do you manage upward? And that's an important lesson and one that I've had to grapple with.
Well, you offer some advice about what to do if you're reporting to a senior leader who maybe they're not able to articulate a clear vision, or maybe they set a vision that's not something that you agree with. I want to talk about these three options you suggest. The first one is, if you can't support the vision of a leadership, you could leave honorably rather than cause dissension. And Steve, say a word about that.
Yes, that is so important. I mean, again, you don't want to rush out the door, but I've seen people leave organizations and they leave poorly, and it's a bad reflection on them. When you leave an organization, leave it well. Leave it with respect. Leave it with dignity. Don't trash talk the folks you've left. There's a right way and a wrong way to do this. And we've had to do it in the past, and we always sought to leave with grace and dignity.
And God will be your defender. Becky, the next one is, you could meet with your boss and pitch a possible compromise.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the relationship where you can talk with your boss, but even if you don't, it goes back to Steve's principle of managing upward. You know, you could open the conversation and say, hey, you know, is there a way where we could work around this policy, or where we could work around this principle that you've laid out so that I become more effective in my role here? I really want to honor the company. I really want to honor this ministry or this organization, but I need a little more encouragement to move forward in this area. What can I do about that? And then listen to what your boss says about that.
Okay. So if you can't support the vision of the leadership, maybe God's calling you to leave honorably, and you'll never, my hubby always says, don't have any regrets, and you'll never regret leaving honorably. God's your defender. Try to meet with your boss and pitch a possible compromise. And thirdly, Steve, you could take the opportunity to invest in your own personal growth and development.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, I look at every situation you're in as an opportunity to grow. And if God has you in a situation where you know he's planted you there, he's not opening other doors, this is an opportunity for you to look inward and say, okay, what can I learn from this? How can I grow? How can I become a more effective leader? Is there a class I need to take? Is there some internal reflection I need to do? Is there a mentor I need to be getting guidance from? But view it as an opportunity to grow rather than a blockage to your advancement.
Our old pastor friend always said, you're not free to go till you're free to stay. I think
that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Well stated.
You know, Susie, can I just add something to that?
Yeah.
Looking back on the situation where we were in that mega church and it kind of blew up around us, and I understand that Steve does take responsibility for not listening well in the beginning, but when he realized where the thing was headed, there were a lot of people that really wanted Steve to stay. And at that point, Steve was pretty burned out, but he left very honorably. He never tore down the elder that was giving him difficulty. I mean, people became aware of it because it became very public, but Steve left very, very honorably. And it's interesting now because now it's many years later. And some of the people that were on that staff with us have gotten back in touch with us really and have said, hey, Steve, your example in that really ministered to me and prepared me for my future ministry because you didn't cause dissension and you left well. And I think that is such a critical point for people because there are people that leave organizations and boy, they want to yell at everybody and everything and they want to defend their cause and they want to kind of blow the place up. And that really takes away from our credibility in leadership.
Indeed it does. Well, we've got about 2 minutes to our hard break at the bottom of the hour, but I'd love for both of you to speak to this, and we'll start with Steve and Becky on the other side. But about the idea of listening to God, you both function at a pretty high level of leadership now, and the pressures are great, and often you can get tied into the tyranny of the urgent. There's so many things pulling on you right now, Steve. So talk about how you navigate just cultivating a listening life, a listening ear, so that you don't make a move without the Lord.
One of the things that I practice diligently in my life is creating space for walking in the wilderness to just talk to God. And I do that on a regular basis. I think keeping Sabbath is a critical thing. And right now, one of the priorities I'm working on, quite honestly, is in my time with God in the morning, locking work out. Because my mind tends to run to all kinds of things. And so I'm maybe sitting there reading the word, but I'm thinking about, okay, what have I got to do today? What action do I have to take? What challenge do I have to address? And I'm learning now to lock that out, just be with the Lord and trust that he's going to give me the wisdom later on. But there has to be that space where it's just me and God and it's not me, God, and work.
Very good. Becky, you got about a minute and a half. What do you say?
Okay. I would say that this is a great question, Susie, because both Steve and I are pretty hyper. You really should meet our kids. But anyway, anyway, we're both pretty hyper and we're both pretty, we probably each have 10,000 thoughts per second. And so for me, I get up really early in the morning before anybody's up. And I like to get on my face before God and settle myself by listening to worship music. And then I go into a period of silence and I'm actually timing myself with that because it's been such a challenge for me to just be silent before the Lord and remind myself, Jesus is my life. And then from there, I get into opening the Word of God and I use a prayer journal and that helps settle me down. But I'm just finding in this season of life, I can't do my life without long blocks of time with the Lord because as the demands are greater, I need to lean into him more heavily.
That's my morning routine as well, Becky, and I love it, and I won't trade it for anything. Talking to Steve and Becky Harling, they're co-authors of the book, Listen Well, Lead Better, Becoming the Leader People Want to Follow, and I'm just saying, you're a leader. You influence people, so I want you to pay attention to the idea of cultivating the art of listening. We will all have more influence when we grow in the art of listening. We've got 6 copies of Listen Well, Lead Better. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you're navigating a difficult situation with a leader, we would love to hear from you as well, and we'll help work through that. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Growing in the grace of listening, of learning, of reflecting Christ's heart to a lost and dying world. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Steve and Becky Harling. Their book, Listen Well, Lead Better. We've got 6 copies of this book. Listen to what they write. Listen, this is good. Listen, wouldn't it be extraordinary if the followers of Jesus were widely known and respected for being people who asked good questions and genuinely concentrated on understanding others? Wouldn't it be helpful if we were known for listening rather than telling, understanding rather than demanding to be understood? Can I get an amen? Somebody's got to text me, amen, 877-933-2484. So we've got 6 copies. Also text the word book in a separate text if you want in the drawing. Okay, so Steve, you write in the book about something that happened. It just jumped out at me. You were traveling to Australia, I believe. You were in Australia, and you said you craved a spiritual conversation with a stranger. Now, that was sort of a side note on the way to your story, but it jumped out at me because you were craving a spiritual conversation with a stranger. I'm an introvert, so this was really very intriguing. I love it. And I mean, you're a true blue evangelist. You are. But tell us that story, if you would.
Yeah, I'm not. And again, I would not say that I am a total extrovert, but I would say that it had been a little while for me, a little while since I'd had a really meaningful conversation with somebody who's not a Jesus follower. And I was just craving that. And so I was riding along in a taxi. We were making our way along in the city of Sydney on our way to the airport. And as we're driving along, I'm talking to the taxi driver. He's from Somalia. It began to be very clear where he was coming from and his faith background. And we just had a really good, frank, open conversation. And towards the end, as we got near the airport, I said to him, I said, "Apu, just tell me, you know, is there any advice you would give me? Because I'm a follower of Jesus and I relate a lot of people, you know, I relate to a lot of people who are from your religion. So what advice do you have for me?" And I was really struck by what he said. He said, "You Christians don't listen. You talk all the time and tell us what to believe, but you don't care to understand us." And man, that was, talk about a kick in the gut. That was kind of a wake up call to me. And it did get me thinking, what if we're more like Jesus? You know, what if Christians were known for a totally different paradigm? And we were known for being people who listen and seek to understand rather than being understood.
So good. I have to read this quote again because I feel like it's casting a vision for all of us. Hear this, friends, in this political climate, in this denominationally divisive climate. I mean, there's so many places and ways to divide and feel like you have to divide and conquer. But hear this again. Wouldn't it be extraordinary if followers of Jesus were widely known and respected for being people who asked good questions and genuinely concentrated on understanding others? Wouldn't it be helpful if we were known for listening rather than telling, understanding rather than demanding to be understood? So, Becky, this is what's, you know, because we are in such a ready, shoot, and then aim culture, if Christians who are trying to lead the way in this, asking good questions, those who are jumping on them, calling them traitors because they're conversing with someone who's on a different side of the aisle of whatever, and you say what we're not saying is that listening means agreeing. We got to be kind of confident in who God made us to be able to engage in these conversations. Just because you're listening and even curious and asking questions, doesn't mean you're agreeing with everything they say.
Yeah, absolutely, Susie. I think this is something that Steve and I have really seen in our culture. I think specifically of our political environment right now. You know, people are so polarized. And so when the conversation is open, rather than a person focusing on understanding the other side, just to offer the person understanding, it's not necessary that you're going to cross the aisle, so to speak, but you're trying to understand the person, because that person is somebody that Jesus loves. You know, in our church here in Colorado Springs, our pastor often says from the pulpit, when we come to this communion table, we come as black and white, we come as Democrat and Republican, we come, and he lists all these different categories, but he says, in the body of Christ, we are one. And even in speaking to people that are outside the body of Christ, how will they know Jesus if we don't show his love to them? You know, if we're always trying to prove our point, that's counter to that. That sends them away from Jesus rather than towards him.
It's so good. Steve, can you think of a time where you had a conversation with someone that you really wholeheartedly disagreed with, but you left the conversation thinking that was really wonderful because you were practicing the art of listening?
That's a very good question. And you're catching me slightly off guard on that one right now.
So sorry.
I can think of times when you've done that, because I can think of a time where Steve was engaged with he was seated with a whole group of people at a dinner table, and next to him was a woman who held a completely different perspective than Steve did on a sexual issue that's very relevant culture.
That's right.
And what did you do?
Yeah, no, it was an amazing experience. She was a fairly new believer. But to be able to, you know, really, rather than pouncing on her and say, well, Christians believe X and you therefore need to believe this, or the Bible says X and you've got to believe this, just being able to ask her questions, you know, how does this make you feel? What's behind this? Why is this an area of interest to you? And being able to just hear her heart. And then after I'd heard her heart for a good long time, and we talked about politics, sexuality. I mean, everything you're not supposed to talk about. And she came out of that conversation saying that was incredibly life-giving. And what I realized is, you know, I gained a listener or somebody who is now much more amenable to a biblical point of view simply because I gave her the chance to express her feelings and thoughts and reflections without judgment.
Wow, very good.
And it just opened the door for her.
That's so good. You also say listening means you'll wait to make decisions until – listening does not mean that you're going to wait to make decisions till everybody's on the same page. The third one I want to dig into, listening means or does not mean that everyone will love you and that you won't get criticized. I actually want you both to speak to this idea because you described, Becky, that you both have sensitive spirits. And I mean, I really do too as well. And I've had to learn to toughen up, but I got a long way to go. What do you say, Becky?
Oh, man, we're sitting here laughing, Susie, because, you know, when you're at the level of leadership that we now are at, criticism sometimes just seems to come from every direction. And honestly, I'm a people, you know, people pleaser. I really like people to like me. And so I like to bend over backwards, you know, but in the realm of leadership, there are going to be times where you're going to make decisions and even people that may normally love you, they are not going to like your decisions. And the criticism is going to come from every direction. And, you know, it was interesting because we have gone through this a lot. And there have been times where I've just had to go before the Lord and say, Lord, we are doing what we feel is right. And we have to move in this direction. We want these people to feel loved and heard, but we realize they're not going to agree with us. And that has to be okay with me.
Steve, let's talk for a minute about the fear of man, because the truth is, if you're afraid of criticism, if that terrifies you, you'll never fulfill your God-given call. But it is no fun to be negatively assessed or accused. So what advice do you have for the person that longs to step out to do the things God's called them to, but they're terrified of the meanies? They're even terrified of constructive criticism.
You know, I've learned along the way that if you ask for criticism, and, you know, from people you respect and listen, you know, that listen to your heart and trust you, it gets easier and easier to receive it. I mean, I, with my senior leadership team, I ask probably every month, what am I doing that I need to stop doing, or what am I not doing that I should be doing that is going to help you be more effective? And creating a climate where it is okay for them to weigh in and give feedback, it just makes it a lot easier. And I, you know, the other thing is, and, you know, Beck just kind of mentioned this to me, I think I have learned that I have to be willing to lay my reputation before the Lord. You know, there are times when criticism will come and my reaction would be, well, I've got to make a defense. I got to make my case here to protect myself. And I'm just kind of learning, no, Lord, you know, I don't have to. My reputation ultimately rests with you. And I don't have to be, you know, out there planning and strategizing on how I'm going to make myself look good. In the end, I do the right thing and trust the Lord with the outcome. But I garner as much input as possible. But in the end, not everybody's going to agree. And you just got to do what God put in your heart.
So the person who's listening, who's still terrified of people coming against him, I mean, I would think you can't take it on all at once, but you can just do the next thing. And then you do the next thing, right? And the grace will be there.
Yep. God gives us grace. He gives you strength.
And again, you can use it as a time, you know, if the criticism's coming from every direction or if you're really having a hard time dealing with criticism, you can use it to propel you deeper into God's presence. You know, when other people are criticizing, spend more time with the Lord so that you can hear his voice clearly. If there's anything you can apologize for, you apologize for that. But sometimes people are just not going to like the direction that you've chosen to take.
So, Becky, how do you navigate where, you know, that comes at you and the temptation is to rise up, as Steve says, in your own defense? Then you realize, you know, God's my defender. You know, some say just throw it all out. Others say, no, absolutely not. Once you're ready, sit with it for a little bit and see if you can extract any kind of nugget that, you know, maybe it's wrapped in a lie, wrapped in an accusation, and the enemy means it that way. But maybe embedded in that thing is something you could would actually make you a better leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, I read recently a principle that I have put into practice in my own life. I read it sometime in the last year. I don't even remember where. So the three categories of truth, trash or treasure. And so when criticism is coming my way, you know, and I don't always respond, I don't want listeners to think, wow, Steve and I always respond graciously. You know, sometimes we blow it and we have to go back to the Lord and ask, you know, him to forgive us. But I try to look at these three categories. I have to say, what is the truth in this criticism? Is there anything that's truthful in it? It may just be the most minutia point, but I can grasp on that truth and say, okay, this is truth. What's the trash in it? You know, some people, it's just like, okay, they bottom line don't like me and don't like the position I've taken. So I have to just trash that. And what's the treasure? What does God want me to learn out of this to help me to move forward to become more like Jesus and more the leader he's called me to be? Those three principles have really helped me, Susie.
Wow, those are fantastic. Truth, treasure, and trash. How about this? I would love to know how your lives have changed since you've been intentional about this for a number of years, about going, listening is a thing. So, Steve, what's changed for you, not only as a leader, but as maybe a husband and a father and a friend?
Yeah, I think for me, I've learned to slow down a lot more. And rather than rushing ahead with the ambitions and the dreams and the passions that I have in my heart, I've learned to value the input of others and genuinely seek it out. One of the most important things is to have mentors in your life where you can process these kinds of things. And that has been a huge issue for me, of just having guys that I can sit down with and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm thinking, I'm feeling. Help me process this. That has been a huge learning experience for me, and something I now highly value that I probably didn't value early on.
How about you, Becky?
I think for me, Susie, I've put more effort into learning to empathize with people. People open up about their stories with me a lot. Sometimes random people on airplanes. Sometimes it's my own daughters or my son or my daughter-in-law. And I'm learning to try to enter into that conversation by first offering empathy, which basically says, hey, your feelings make sense to me. Wow, that must have been hard, you know, or that must have made you feel really angry. Am I right in assuming that, you know, and just letting them bring their stories more to the forefront. And I think the other thing I've learned is to ask questions to keep the story coming. And sometimes that's inconvenient. You know, in the book, I tell the story of where I had a lady seated next to me on an airplane, and I really just wanted to relax and open my book. And this lady told me more about her life than I know about almost anybody's life. I mean, by the time I got off the plane, I even knew how much this lady weighed, and I didn't even ask her that. I would never ask somebody that, but she just had a need to feel heard. And I felt the Holy Spirit just saying to me, Becky, can you just be my listening presence to this person? And so when we offer ourselves up like that, God provides a lot of opportunities.
And there really are so many who need that. You can just do an experiment. I mean, ask people questions and you'll notice how often they don't reciprocate and ask questions back, because people just, I think, are starving for some kind of connection, not even knowing that if they were to ask questions back, they'd even have a richer connection. When we come back, I want Steve, you to tell the story about the time when you were a pastor of that sweet country church and you received a call from a big time pastor. And I don't know if you've ever, friends, have encountered a me monster, but they're out there when it's all about them. And what are you supposed to do about that? What can we learn? And this exchange really did. It kind of made me gasp a little bit, but there's a valuable lesson in it as well. Talking to Steve and Becky Harling. They've co-written the book, Listen Well, Lead Better, Becoming the Leader People Want to Follow. Just a lot of equipping with how to become an incredible listener and how to navigate difficult situations where maybe you're not being heard. We've got 6 copies. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Steve and Becky Harling about their book, Listen Well, Lead Better. We've got 6 copies of this wonderful book to give away. If you want to learn to listen well, in fact, we all need to grow in this and imagine really how your life will change and your world will open up as you start to notice other people, where you grow in the confidence of who you are in Christ Jesus to the point where you can hear other people's stories without constantly interjecting. Imagine, I mean, the world needs good listeners, and what a powerful book. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And this dear listener says, love the emphasis on listening and asking questions. People are indeed hungry everywhere. I could not agree with you more, Rhonda. So, Steve, you tell the story. I'm sorry, I chuckle a little bit. You tell the story about when you were a pastor of that country, sweet country church, and you were surprised because you received a call from a big-time pastor who asked if he could preach in your pulpit. Tell us that story.
Oh, yes. That was a precious experience and totally memorable. We had just become pastors. Becky and I were only in our early 20s, and we stepped into this little church. And one day I get this phone call, and this big name preacher calls me up, and he says, hey, I grew up in your community, and I played the organ in your church when I was a kid. I want to come to your church and speak on Sunday. And I was blown away. I thought maybe it was a prank call or something, but turned out it was for real. And so I had the guy come, and it's a long story. In the book, we talk all about it, but so I'm not going to say all of it. But I will say this: after the service was over, and everything worked out okay in the end. But after the service was over, we invited this guy and his wife to come to our house for dinner, and we also invited another couple. And this couple, at least the husband, a friend of mine, he was fairly new to his faith. Okay, so we invited these two couples over to our house for dinner. And this famous preacher, he kept saying things like, well, as you know, I will be in Houston on Tuesday night debating with, you know, and he named the most famous atheist at the time. And as you know, I've got a meeting at Dolphin Stadium in Miami the following week. And he's going on and on and on with, as you know this and as you know that. And he's talking continuously about this. And I'm looking at my friend, and my friend is just, you know, as this thing is going on, I could just see my friend is getting more and more irritated. But this guy's monopolizing the conversation, and it's as you know this and as you know that. And finally, we sat down at dinner, and he's carrying on with as you know this and as you know that. And finally, my friend couldn't take it anymore, and he found a brief window of opportunity to speak up, and he just belted out, you know what? You keep saying as you know this and as you know that. I didn't even know who you were until today. Oh, my goodness. You could have just – it was terrifying that – the famous speaker's wife, she blurted out, how dare you speak to my husband like that? As for me, I just wanted to crawl under the table. Mm-hmm. And then this famous preacher says to my friend, well, how about we go sort this out on the front porch? I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is going to turn into a brawl on my front porch. Anyway, it didn't turn into a brawl. Unfortunately, the guy apologized and things worked out. But boy, did I learn a big lesson that day. And the lesson mm-hmm. I learned, as I mature in ministry, I want to be the kind of leader that draws other people out rather than talking about himself. Mm. And I want to be the kind of leader that makes other people want to feel, or that makes them feel valued and honored because I ask them questions rather than just telling them all about my agenda and my stuff.
And that's so important. And you even say in the book about the higher you get in leadership, the less self-aware you tend to be. And that's why I just wanted you to tell that story. I mean, as a conference speaker, you know, there's been a number of times where there's one big, you know, kind of like that, a celebrity Christian speaker, author. Every single time I'm backstage where we're both speaking at the same event, it's that same thing. And I used to be so intimidated by it. But the last few times I've left going, feeling sad, you know, going, what's behind that? And then this dear listener just writes in, her name's Maria. She says, I've discovered that me monsters are usually people who cannot connect with their own pain. And thus they can't connect with, wow, this is good. Hear this again. I've discovered that me monsters are usually people who cannot connect with their own pain and thus cannot connect with the needs of others. Sometimes it helps to ask them about the things that make them unhappy. They're frequently hurting, but some of them are just narcissistic or hiding something. Becky, what do you say to that?
Yeah, that is a profound statement. And I do think that's true. And unfortunately, a lot of times, as people climb the corporate ladder, so to speak, whether in really corporations or in church or in ministry, or like you said, Susie, the ones that become famous speakers, a lot of times their whole identity is wrapped up in what they do. And those are the people that tend to talk about themselves so much. Because if we're really centered, if our identity is really founded in Jesus Christ, we have the ability to focus on people around us, and we don't need to always be talking about ourselves and our accomplishments and our this and our that.
You know, and one of the ways to stay humble and grounded is do what Steve is doing, where he's asking his team, what am I doing and what am I not doing? When you open yourself up to the influence of others, that will keep you humble and grounded. Remember, you know, I've been in radio over 15 years, and I've seen some really significant leaders rise and then fall, and to my dismay and despair. And one of them specifically had said, you know, I stopped, you know, I was so, nobody had access to me anymore, and I believed my own press.
Yes.
And there's something so dangerous about that. Steve, speak to that if you would.
That is a big deal. And I think what happens so often, is, at least in the ministry world, is you can easily develop a dual persona, okay? And I found this, you know, in the mega churches that I pastored, you know, it was easy for me to start kind of feeling like, okay, there's two of me. There's the real me, and then there's the image that I need to portray. And I remember one time saying some things in a pulpit where I was pretty transparent about my struggles. And this couple left the church. And when I went to visit them, I said, hey, what happened? Why did you guys leave? You're important members of our church. And they said, Pastor Steve, you came down from the pedestal.
Oh, wow.
And that spoke to me. And I realized, oh, man, I got to project something. I got to project that I'm together and I have my act together. And so I started to develop this sort of external persona that really wasn't consistent with the truest me. All right. And rather than being authentic, I think I was projecting something different. And God had to really deal with me on that. And honestly, I've seen that same thing way too many times where you kind of develop this outer image that's not consistent with who you really are. Asking good questions, listening to others gets the real you out.
Indeed. So if somebody's working for a leader who's become less and less accessible, now there's a certain measure of access that's just the reality.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep up with all your emails. I can't do that as well. But with that, when the mindset with that comes, I'm above the law, that's when it's really scary. So if someone is listening today and maybe they work for someone either in ministry, church, or the marketplace who's more of a dictator and isn't listening anymore and it doesn't feel like a safe environment, would you go back to those three pieces of advice where you either leave quietly, speak with the boss, or practice your own development? Or do you have other advice as well, Steve?
That's a good question. I do think in the end, those are your three issues. And you know, I mentor younger guys that are facing these kinds of things all the time, and I try to walk with them through, you know, how do you manage upward? How do you get that leader to listen? And quite honestly, sometimes it's successful and sometimes it's not. And when it's not, you got to know when God's closing the door, or you've got to figure out, okay, Lord, are you trying to teach me something in this that I need to learn? Do I need to just settle down, hunker down, do my job? But is there another side of my life that you want to develop or shape, or is there another ministry that you want me to begin moving towards? I don't think you want to do anything knee-jerk, but those are tough calls.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start with Becky. We've got about a minute and a half. I'll see if we can get them in for both of you. Becky, what do you know about God now that you didn't know 5-10 years ago?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question, Susie. I think the magnitude of how much God loves each of us and wants us to feel known with Him. You know, I grew up in a sect of Christianity where you kind of anger was always wrong. It was never expressed. You didn't really express any of the negative emotions. And then, you know, there was confusion. Reading through the Psalms, I mean, David prays, "Break their teeth, O God." That seems pretty angry to me.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, just the grace with which Jesus invites us into His presence and says, "Okay, Becky, bring it. Bring all the feelings, the negative, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you are still my deeply loved child who I believe in." And I think that's so profound.
And what's even more profound is that as we bring our true selves to Him, He listens. God is the best listener of all. Steve and Becky, what you're doing for the kingdom is so significant. Just really honor the gift of God in you, and thank you for giving us your time today.
We loved it, Susie. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Susie.
Yeah, you are treasures. Steve and Becky Harling, their book, Listen Well, Lead Better. We'll leave the drawing open for another about 15 minutes. If you're in, just text the word book to 877-933-2484. Hope you have a really good day, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Middays with Susie Larson. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.